Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Can you find me a jet? He's like, I'll call you back. He calls him back. He's like, dang, dude, nobody's ever done that. The entire amount. I'll find you a jet. They found me a jet. I took delivery of it on December, what, like 26 or something? Okay. Wrote off the entire fucking thing.
You wrote off a jet?
The entire thing.
The business.
It took care of all my taxes that year and the next year and halfway into next year.
How the fuck can you write off a jet?
It's the game, baby. It's the cage. This is the real cage.
Damn, dude, it's cutthroat around this house. I get fired, and then Milt gets fired.
You know who's next?
Okay,
right?
No, stop. Who? Oh, Matt,
Andre. Unfortunately, vegans are on the way out right now,
bro.
The whole movement is getting struck down.
That's not true. I've never fired anyone.
Everybody just kind of like scoots away.
It's been a mutual like, yo, it's time for you to graduate.
No, they don't quit. Fuck you.
You get the credit, huh?
No. It's mutual.
Okay, it's mutual.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing. Hit that subscribe button if you're not subscribed. A lot of big thanks.
Just to wrap that up real quick. Everyone who's worked for me, I've never had someone make the classic like, here's why I left the Maverick house. I was treated Miss Parley.
Yeah.
The equity was taken from my pockets. Like,
that's true.
It's a mutual, like, yo, it's very evident to me, the boss, that it's time for you to graduate because I believe in you and I want to give you those wings to fly, i.e. you, Spencer.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you are like,
yeah, we both kind of just like had the same idea, just met in the middle and just,
yeah, yeah.
It made sense.
Yeah.
What do you do differently than say, I'm just trying to think of a random example. Say like someone like a Jake at Team 10 does. What? Why is the house so much calmer here? Because I know it's not your incentive based performance system. That's for sure.
I'll tell you how.
Because I've been on a flat fee, bro. Even though I've been smoking every motherfucking category, dude. I can't make a goddamn dollar at this place, dude.
Bro, what are you talking about?
I don't know about that.
It's not even remotely true.
All right, I'm kidding. But I have, and we'll talk to our guest about it hopefully a little bit. I've been talking to him about the power of incentive-based programming. He's saying no. Okay, perfect. We'll wait. We'll hold off on that.
Hold that conversation.
Great.
But I would love to hear what he has to say about
that.
But I always wonder when like Mike complains about money or anyone in the house.
I'm kidding.
What do you need? Like, what are your expenses? I don't understand. No rent, I provide everything. There's no rent. You don't even have to pay for food. Chef Katie is up chef cooking in the kitchen.
It's pretty
all
nice.
Day.
Yeah,
it's pretty
just
nice.
Gambling expenses are
I'll
so
tell you
high.
How. I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how I stay away from the
victimhood situation.
Yeah, like when they leave and I get a video made about me is like I treat the people I work with. With respect, and yes. there's, it's just like a really healthy relationship.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yeah, you keep all the doors open.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Literally. In a really tricky scenario, too, because balancing, like,
business
our,
and
like, it's more like family and business.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
the way our camp runs, like, we don't have that, like, burnout, rollover type shit. We have people that come in, they're good for, like, 2+ years. Me, I'm like coming on 4 year and we've already been talking about burial plots together. This is no fake bullshit, dude. Yeah.
I also like to keep my employees happy. So like Hayden, I think last year he's like, yo, I can't do 7 days anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you can say that. You're worth it. You've proven your worth and value to me. That's fine. If you can do 4 days, I'll get another editor who can do 3. We'll make it happen.
Yeah,
because he's great.
You keep the conversation open and it's comfortable for people to have that conversation. Whereas I think a lot of employers, like, you're just scared. Like, just looking at them, they freak you out.
Yeah,
you want to go in and talk to your manager about like a potential raise or like, hey, do you think you can?
Just got out of the gym and he's sweating. Yeah. It's like you don't want to piss him off.
The one thing I wish Logan would do a little bit better is. Like, you didn't have to beat me so bad on the golf course this weekend, bro.
You guys golfed?
Yeah, we played putt-putt.
Putt-putt, dude. Okay. And it was a high-stakes game. There's a lot of money on the line, and it's going to be in an episode of The Night Shift coming up. But He fucking smoked me, Spence.
Yeah, it was really good. I'm also good at putt-putt. I'm going to be honest, bro. I'm one of those people. I'm good at most things. I'm versatile. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to say this. I'll say it. All right. I was going to tweet this. Shit. I wonder if I should say this.
I feel like every time you do this, I watch someone doing a breakdown of something you said. That you, like, anytime you stop yourself first, you're going to say it, by the way. So go ahead. But it's just funny.
I don't know if I should have this. I'll say it.
Say it. Come on.
I was gonna tweet this. You know how some rappers will be like, "I'm the best rapper on the planet." Like Trey Songz.
Trey Songz
did it.
Who, by the way, lives next door to us, right?
Yeah, he lives down the street. Yeah. Tory Lanez. Tory Lanez.
Yes, Tory Lanez. Right. Yes.
He tweeted like, "I'm the best rapper." I was gonna tweet this. Ready? I'm the most versatile entertainer on the planet. And I believe it.
Okay.
I'm 24 years old. I got a lot of room to grow. And I think the amount of buckets that I have my hands in, more importantly, that I'm able to put my hands in, creating, directing, boxing, producing, now athletics, acting, singing. Yeah. Like, bro, the list is long. I don't know how we got on this tangent, but that's what I was going to say.
I'm curious, what other entertainers are as versatile? I do see The Rock, you know, he's getting into like, you know, and a lot of actors do this. They'll get into alcohol. They'll get into like real estate and all this other stuff, which I'm sure we'll talk about. What other
high performing?
Both.
Okay.
What other high performing entertainers do you see?
The Rock's a good one. He's a great example.
Okay.
Like, he's a versatile dude.
Yeah.
You know, and he for me put the cherry on the top of the cake when he sang in Moana. Ooh. What can I say except you're welcome?
Yeah, he hit it.
I was like, whoa. Like, he kind of completed that 360.
I think he won a
fucking, what's the?
Emmy?
A Grammy for it.
Grammy,
I
mean?
Really?
I think so, dude. I think he won an award, or he was nominated or something.
For Moana.
Speaking of awards, Emmys were last night, too.
Yeah, purple carpet. Yeah, it was cool, man. I don't know much about, I'm sorry. Don't know much about,
Emmy. Game of Thrones won some awards.
The Rock did win the Grammy.
That's what I'm saying.
First ever Grammy wins for The Rock.
That's awesome.
Oh, wait. It might be J-Rock.
That's what I said. Yeah. J-Rock.
That might be J-Rock.
Wait, sorry, that's what I was talking about.
How did J-Rock? What?
Hey,
yo, quickly too, no UK press conference.
Yeah.
We doing that or what?
Yeah, we should talk about it. Because I addressed this on Twitter. I put a Twitter video out. You guys know I have that fight with KSI coming up on November 9th at the Staples Center. It's going to be crazy.
Get your tickets.
Get your fucking tickets. We want to see you there. Dude. If not, it's going to be on the DAZN app. I'm in training camp right now, which is actually why I think we might go down to 2 podcasts per week. But KSI tweeted this morning. He said, looks like there won't be a UK press conference. It's a shame and quite frankly unfair, but whatever. Certain man don't want this smoke. 70,000 favorites went semi-viral. I can assure you, I want the fucking smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance I can get in this man's face is a blessing.
Yep.
And I've been pushing for this press conference to happen for a month. Found out it wasn't going to happen in the past week.
Via DAZN.
Because
they told us that it wasn't happening. And by the way, one other quick thing on it. I was looking forward to going to London.
It's a phenomenal city.
We have friends in London. Yep. I'm a massive fan of both fish and chips and bangers and mash.
Yep. Yep.
I wanted all of the smoke.
Showers with Florida glass ceilings looking out over London.
Literally,
I mean, that was incredible.
Dude, hanging out with Mac, all the wonderful European or UK women. Like,
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I was pumped.
So why? Why did they cancel it?
I think it's a syndication problem. As of now, DAZN isn't available in the UK.
Right.
So I think Sky Sports is going to be showing the fight in the UK.
Okay.
Which means it would be on Sky Sports to host the press conference.
Do you know if Sky Sports is going to be available in other countries? I saw a lot of people in the comments
I think so.
Freaking out about
this. Australia is a big one. I love my Aussie fans, and I need to get them to fight.
I've seen a lot from India as well. Yeah. A lot of people in India that are fucking pissed.
We're working on it.
Yep.
But yeah, that's why it's not happening. Yeah, this has nothing to do with me.
Can we hire like a army of blimps with screens on them to fly over continents that just for unavailable?
No, to show the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly that's good.
You're good at ideas.
Yeah.
But the last thing on it too, I want to say was, it was funny that all these people are like, it's just because they don't want to come to the UK because they're scared to come back to London. I'm like, yo, we live in LA, dude. We go to Watts, to fucking South Central to hang out for the day. We're not scared to go to London town. Okay, dude, like chill the fuck out.
Yeah, we did get some knives pulled on us though.
I heard about that, but what's a little fucking shank, dude? Sometimes you gotta take a quick shank.
We'll be all right.
Move on.
Especially, bro, I do crunches now. Like that shit, the knife bends when it hits me. Yeah. It makes contact with my skin.
We're not scared about that.
Mike told a girl, he told his crush, she was a good chugger this weekend.
Interesting.
We all
compliment.
Have that moment at the nightclub where you see your crush and you have one opportunity to say something meaningful, grab her attention. Yeah. Mike chose the following sentence. You're a pretty good chugger.
I don't even I have nothing. I have nothing to say here for the first time.
And you're sober too. That's like I would expect that to come from
you're a pretty good chugger.
She was just chugging hella booze. It was the last time we made eye contact. She was at the table across from us. And she was walking out. By the way, I said it in a way that was just like, I don't really give a fuck. I was just like, yeah, you're a pretty good chugger.
What did she say? Did it like fall flat?
You want to know what she said? Did it fall flat? She didn't even fucking look, bro. Okay? She didn't even fucking look. She just kept walking. And then the first thing I said to myself was, fucking pretty good chugger. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? And I kicked a little fake rock. You know when you do something wrong and you're a kid and you like kick a rock that's not there? You go, fuck.
Bro, if you want to impress your crush, that's one thing. If you want to impress your crush when she's moving, if she has momentum, you got to say some meaningful shit. And he said, you're a pretty good chugger.
How many people do you think have come back from that shit? Because by the way, that happens. People get in their heads.
Here's my problem.
And they do some fucked up shit when it comes to crushes. And there's ways to crawl out of that hole. And by the way, there is no by the way, man. I fucked it up.
I know.
He smoked it, dude. It's done.
In the van, he doubled down. What the fuck happened to the camera?
Holy shit.
How did that happen?
What the fuck?
We just lost our wiring.
What just happened? It just started looking over at Andre.
It was like, Mike really said that? Fuck! I'm out of here. Fuck this show.
Mike doubled down in the van when we were making fun of him. He's like, no, bro, she's a good chugger.
Yeah.
And then,
of course, you got to defend it.
But then 5 minutes later, he's like, all right, man, whatever. You're supposed to mess up with your crush for the first time. And I was like, now you're talking, Mike. Like his ego dropped. Yeah. It's okay, man.
This could be a classic situation where maybe the club, it was too loud. You're in your head.
We
right
were outside.
We were outside. I was telling her that she was really good at chugging alcohol because she had literally just downed a bottle of vodka. She doesn't remember being there that night.
Yeah. Oh,
so I get bought a little bit. Good. And by the way, also, I have a girlfriend. So whatever. Moving on.
What?
Okay. Yeah.
He doesn't have a girl. He is a girl he hangs out with more than
normal,
your average
more than normal.
And she's not a porn star?
No, she is a porn star.
Okay.
She's a very high-ranked porn star, bro. But I fucking like her a lot. She's cool as all fucking hell.
Well, at least she's high-ranked. Hey.
That's true. Well, at least everyone sees it.
Youngster
Eyes,
you didn't do this.
All right, listen, one more thing. I feel this needs to be addressed before we bring our guest on. We lost our maid. We lost our maid, Susalee, man. She quit. Here's what happened.
Fuck. Yeah.
So she was our housekeeper. We hired her probably 3 weeks ago.
Super apparently, great lady.
She was so nice. Mm-hmm. I didn't speak much with her, but she seemed great. Solid energy, a lot of smiles. Chef Katie put a dish on the counter and Susalee kind of flipped a little bit. She's like, what do you expect? To me to clean this up like I am some sort of housekeeper. And we're like, that's your, yeah.
That's actually what we hired you to do. Yeah, that's your official title, believe it or not.
And then she flipped and quit and left.
Really? She's like, I can't work like this. Like, all right, well, best of luck on your journey. Hopefully you're able to find a place that treats the maid better than a maid. I don't know what else to fucking say to you, lady. Like,
Damn, you gotta love it, man.
Well, yeah, you gotta love like it until it's Monday morning and all the fucking plates are in the sink.
That's true.
I did love it until we woke up.
I met a new maid
zone
this morning, though. Yeah. So that was good.
Yeah. Well, she, I think we're testing her. I don't know. Yeah. Look, we got a sponsor, guys. It's Blue Chew. We're black. We're not black. We're not black. We're a bunch of white kids. We're back. We're back. How can I even do this now?
Yeah, no, keep that. Climb. Yeah, keep that.
Just keep you like sex. You'll love BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom because we all like to go a little longer and a few extra rounds. BlueChew.com, you get the first chewables with the active ingredients sildenafil or tadalafil. Same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Chewables can work faster than pills. Online physician consult is free, so it's cheaper than those other ones. If you take a few minutes to connect with a Blue Chew affiliated physician, and if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. They ship directly to your door in a discreet package, and Blue Chew give you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner are going to love it. Chew it and do it. I love that slogan. Love that slogan. Mm-hmm. Great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code Logan. That's my name, L-O-G-A-N. Just pay $5 shipping. That's B-L-U-E-Chew.com, promo code Logan. By the way, we still haven't gotten any of them.
Yeah, what's good, sponsor? Can you send that over? I'm trying to chew my way to a hard dick.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. Today's guest is the number one sales and marketing trainer in the world. He's a New York Times best-selling author and the creator of the 10X movement. Here to explain what that is and how to make success your duty, obligation, and responsibility. Please welcome Grant Cardone.
Thank you, guys.
Cardone.
It's a good strong name, huh?
Cardone. Yo, I saw on your Wikipedia you're 61?
Yeah, I am.
What?
Not true.
What?
Let me tell you about the chugger, okay? The chick that didn't hear you. The woman I'm married to did not, the first time I pitched her, I was a ghost.
Let's go.
What'd you say to her? Tell her she was a good chugger?
No, I told her I was going to change her life. It was worse.
It might not be worse.
I don't know if it's worse,
but it's close. It's a tough set.
It was bad. It was terrible, dude. I knew the second it came out of my mouth, I'm like, God damn, that was terrible. And then I called her. I called her for 13 months, twice a month, without a return phone call.
You're lying. You're that guy.
I'm that guy.
Hold on. This actually may be one of the most biggest success stories I've ever heard when it comes to like triple texting, double texting, quadruple texting, quintuple texting.
What's the acronym for 13?
I don't know. I can't.
26.
20, yeah.
Oh my God.
Grant, let me ask you.
13 months.
Are you out of your mind?
Oh, for sure. That's why I like you so much, dude. Yeah, you're fucking insane.
A little bit. But wait, how did that eventually work? She just picked up and then
Because over a period of time, just because somebody's not interested today or doesn't see you, over a period of time, the interest will rise. As long as I don't give up on it. So if she's the chick, I mean.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know.
Well, especially.
I mean, dude, if she chugged a thing of vodka.
She don't remember.
She'll be with anybody.
Well, listen, especially. Ooh. Well, here's the other issue. Here's the other issue. To be honest with you, this girl has very long-term boyfriends. That's another aside from it. But, I completely forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Moving back to you for a second there, Grant Cardone. Oh, really quickly, I do have this, though. Our assistant Logan's assistant puts the names of the guests in, and I think she had like an autocorrect moment.
Grant Hardone?
No, we were going to have Grant Cardore.
I like the Hardone thing better.
That's better.
My name's Grant Hardone.
Yeah.
All right, that's incredible. You don't take no for an answer.
Well, I didn't take no for an answer in this case because I knew it was the right thing. I knew it was the right target. Like it's any target, like anything you want to accomplish in life, right? If you just don't give up on it, you won't fail.
I only have one story like that with a girl.
Yeah.
High tier Instagram model. And like I would find myself triple Instagram direct message deep, quadruple Instagram direct message. Like it's like, and I'll never do that. But I made an exception for this girl. Sure enough, similar to your story.
Bang.
Yeah, literally. Anyways.
Where did you live when all this was happening? Where were you?
I was
stationed?
Right here. I was in right LA? Here in LA. I just actually left La Jolla. I was living in San Diego surfing and had three little businesses. I was running out of my house. This garage reminds me of it.
Nice.
And I had been dating and I wanted to get married. And I'm like, the woman I wanted to be with was not in San Diego. I knew for sure. Because I had already canvassed the zip code. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to sell my house. I mean, this is commitment stuff, right? I'm going to sell my house. I know no one in LA, not one person. I'm going to move up here. I'm going to move in. I'm going to find a place to live. I'm going to find my wife here. Because I knew she was here. I don't know how I knew that. I just knew she wasn't in San Diego. And I had a feeling she was in LA. Met her the first night I was here.
Wow.
I was here 30 minutes, dude. I was here 30 minutes.
You met your wife in LA?
In LA.
That's what I'm struggling. So just so I'm clear, you said to yourself, it's time to settle down.
Yeah.
I'm going to find myself a keeper, a long-term wife of a girlfriend.
I wanted a wife. I wanted a family.
I'm going to go for a move to LA to do that. sounds like the most ass backwards thing I've ever heard in my life, because this city is just crawling.
Someone's got to do it different.
And he did. And he got a good one. I've watched a lot of content.
There's a lot of people here, man.
By the way,
they're not all chuggers and skanks, dude.
It's true. By the way, you sex vagoopled. You sex vagoopled. That's how many times.
26?
Is that 26? Yeah, 26.
Oh, what is that?
Vagoopled?
You sex vagoopled.
Yeah, I like that.
Hey, is this your wife? Or this the one on the screen?
Yeah.
I mean, what in the fuck? Yo.
Yeah, she's an awesome chick.
And all right, so.
She gave me two beautiful kids.
But I wanted to ask you, how old are your kids?
They're 8 and 10.
And you're 61.
Yeah.
What's in your water?
Yeah, dude, you're
none of this stuff you're selling on the breaks.
I don't think I'd not blue chew.
No, I never used Blue Chew or the other one. The one is banging.
Guy, Greg Cardone. He got America running through his veins. All right. So listen, seriously, how you stay looking so young?
You know, I take care of myself, man. I take care of myself. I work out. I worked out this morning. I try to work out every day. Money doesn't hurt.
Are you still prepping? You're still prepping for this boxing match? Is that happening?
Which one?
You said the rumor I heard. There's a couple of guys. You were going to fight Jordan Belfort. Is that a real fight?
God,
that would not be a fight. That would not be. I did ask him into the cage. Yeah.
Did you guys hear about this?
He would never ever do that.
They wanted to go into the cage.
Do you guys have beef?
There's two or three guys that I would love to take into a cage because they're online every day talking shit and smacking.
Who?
There's a couple, two or three guys, okay?
So hey, is Ty Lopez one of them?
No, I'm good with Ty. Oh,
okay.
And Ty would kick my ass.
Really?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because he's trained, right? I'm not trained.
I didn't know that.
Definitely not Dan Fleischman. That's for sure.
I don't know Danny that well, okay. but not Danny. It wouldn't be Danny. But anyway.
Wow.
Jordan Belfort, I feel like in a head-to-head, you would. But what I know about Jordan Belfort is he's got some tricks up his sleeve. He's the dude that would pull out some weird brass knuckles out of his socks, some vinegar in your fucking eyes, dude. Like, where did you get the vinegar from, dude?
Well, he wouldn't take the fight anyway. So he says, no, I can't do it, man. I got a hurt shoulder.
Well, also like
I said, I won't touch his shoulder. How about I don't touch his shoulder?
I feel like you're doing good what you're doing right now. Like, don't
you think I need to stay out of the cage?
Yeah, just don't, dude. Is it worth it? Like, what?
It was just for fun.
You know,
I don't mean any of this shit.
I see. When I say that shit, I mean it. You know?
Yeah. You actually hop in the cage. You sell out the Staples Center,
bro. Like, I
it's amazing. That's amazing.
Chris Hemsworth. I remember last year made an Instagram post about his boy fighting in like Bellator or something. He's like. You know, I'm not a real fighter. Shout out to all the real fighters. And I think I was like drunk at a party one night and I like commented on his post. And I was like, I'll fight you. Like, bro, I'm trying to fight everyone. Every celebrity I'm trying to fight. I'm trying to hop in the cage with them. And I'll actually do it because I'm a fucking maniac. Listen, man, define number one sales trainer in the world. Because Forbes named you the number one marketer to watch in 2017. Is that you?
No, that had to be you.
Not 2017 actually. Yeah.
Good year.
Yeah.
What the fuck, Forbes?
Yeah, well, you just you were on the list. Whatever, those lists are all bullshit.
Look on paper, it's not bullshit.
Yeah,
you're looking at
somebody
else.
If somebody else says it, I don't know. One of the reasons I wanted to do this show with you guys was because I mean, some of the marketing stuff you do is like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, I have so much respect for it. We did a conference in Miami in February this year. It's 35,000 people, sold every seat in the house on Super Bowl weekend. Everybody told me I was insane. They're like, why would you do it on Super Bowl weekend? Because when I called Miami Marlins Stadium, I'm like, hey, I want your stadium. It's going to be in February. When? I got to see if it's available. I said, oh, I guarantee it's available. They're like, no, I got to see the dates. I said, I guarantee, I'll bet you $10 million it's available on the weekend. I want it.
And he's like, well, how are you so confident? I said, Super Bowl weekend. Mm. Like, nobody's going to do an event on Super Bowl weekend except me.
Yeah.
And we did it. We sold 34,789 tickets or something.
How'd you do that?
Fucking don't quit.
Yeah, but don't tactically quit. Through social email media. Lists.
Social media, email, mostly social. Mostly organic social.
What
retargeting.
So what is it about your following that allows you to do that? Because you have 2 million on Instagram?
2.2
million.
It's not from there though.
Okay. So where's it from?
So it's 25 years of people following my work. Like people don't love me. Like that when we talk to our audience about Grant Cardone, they're like, you know, I hated him when I first impressions. I hate the guy and he's arrogant. And then I started listening to his material and it helped me in my money or my finances or sales in some cases or getting a job. That waitress, not the waitress, but the maid that you had here. Yeah. She's going to probably run into me and say, I need a job now. So I think it's the information. It's really, really sticky. It helps people in their life, whether they're trying to go out and buy their first real estate deal or figure out what to do with money. I somehow converse to a large audience of people, really young audience. Of people that are tired of the old.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ideas about money and finance.
When'd you first pop off?
Probably, I was probably 53 years old.
Okay.
In the last 7 or 8 years.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
And you started with
real- after 30, but I've been playing the game since I was like 30.
When did you start flying in jets?
I fly a lot of jets.
First
time I flew private was in my own plane.
You have a plane?
Yeah.
You got a lot of flack for that, didn't you?
I don't have a yacht.
Just a plane. Is that smarter than a yacht?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
You got your own plane. What? How big?
Gulfstream 550.
People were saying it was bad to buy the jet. What do you guys say about that?
Because they can't buy a jet. every person that told me not to buy a jet couldn't buy a jet. It's also the most expensive one. The two people
how much was the jet you bought?
It's a $50 million. Ooh, it's a brand new jet. It's a 2017. I'll tell you a story behind the jet. Okay, so it was two Christmases ago.
I think you passed. Is it?
Hit that video right there. Okay, I got my money's worth out of that jet right here. Just hit that.
Your daughter's
jet. Caldwell, come on.
Is this your daughter doing cartwheels on your jet? Yeah,
is that stupid?
That's pretty epic.
Jesus, mother of God. I don't think that's been done before.
You're talking about a game changer right there for that little girl.
Yeah, don't say.
Her life will never be the same, man.
It's true.
So, I mean, she's been on one commercial flight her whole life. She's like, Papa, can we please fly commercial? I'm like, I hope not.
She wants to fly commercial?
Yeah, because she never had.
She wants to humble herself.
How do you key out her roots?
No, she did not want to humble. What do they do on a...
Or she doesn't know?
Then she got on the plane. She's like, oh my God, there's so many people here.
Does she know about the first class toilettes?
We were flying. Where were we going? Malaysia to Phuket.
Okay.
I just said, hey, I want to go to Thailand. We just finished like 13 countries. And I said, I was in Malaysia and I'm like, I want to go to Phuket. And they're like, you need 7 days advance. I said, fuck it, dude. We'll just land the plane there. I mean, they're not going to keep us out. Sure enough, they wouldn't let us fly in there. So I had to get a commercial flight. I had my jet in Malaysia. And so we had to buy tickets to fly in commercial. And so she had her first experience sitting in the very back seats of the plane.
Oh, the ones that don't even recline.
The last seats.
Economy.
Yeah, it was a 30-minute flight. So
how do you keep her grounded?
Because the
in
kids,
like reality.
Yeah, because the kids they work for everything they get. So like these are really bright kids. You can't ruin kids with stuff. You can ruin kids by giving them stuff and not letting them do stuff to earn it.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I used to have to work to get a cell phone at 16. So.
Yeah,
a ticket to on a jet, that's got to be like what, 5 G's, 10 G's? So what kind of work are they putting in, man? How many lawns are they mowing out here?
Well, it probably pays a great rate.
but look, those kids have spoken. They spoke at that. They wrote their own speeches, present to people. I mean, they're very, very confident.
Are your kids?
Yeah.
Do you homeschool them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We homeschool them.
Yeah, that's smart.
They roll everywhere we go. They're with us.
Mm-hmm.
So a little short trips.
What was, like, the, what was the decision? Did they ever go to a public school?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they went to a little private school, but the private schools aren't any better than the public schools. It's all shit. It's terrible. I'm like, I'm not going to put them through this. I didn't want to get, I hated the 12 years I went, and then the 5 years in college, I hated all of it. So I'm like, I'm not going to do this to these kids. And if they can just avoid this environment, they'll be better off for it.
Are you seeing a lot of your colleagues doing the same thing with their kids, or is this...
No, they want to pawn them off to the system because they don't want to be with them all day.
Okay.
So because it's what I would have done had I not set up my life different. So we're setting up our life right now to, like, how do we want to live our life? Where do we want to go? How do we want to go?
Yeah, you wait. So you waited until you were in your 50s to have kids, correct?
Yeah.
So do you think having kids when?
Yeah, dude. If I
when is the right time to have?
I don't know. When you mature, I'm a very immature person. So
how so?
Like endless fucking list of stupidity. Yesterday, I'm in Beverly Hills with an old Suburban. I'm driving around screeching the tires around corners at 61 years old, hoping I get a ticket, you know? Like, I'm just immature. I've always been immature.
I can relate, man.
Yeah. You made your first million at like 34, 33?
I don't know, man.
You don't know?
But it was in your 30s.
I looked up one day, I'm like, oh, I got $1 million in the account. There's nothing great that happens.
That wasn't a landmark for you?
It's terrifying, dude. Like, oh shit, now I got something to lose. It was nothing. Was it a landmark for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I was 21 years old. And by the way, when I was 15, I wrote down on a piece of paper, like a list of life goals. And one of them was be a millionaire by 21.
Wow.
Like, everyone wants to make their first $1 million. And by the way, my million was a million after taxes. So my fucking million dollars. Right, right. Yeah. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. And so, yeah, when I made my first million after taxes sitting in the bank, seven figures, yeah, that was a landmark for me.
Yeah.
That was big.
I think anytime you add an extra zero onto your checking account balance, it's a big day. I remember the first time I had $100,000. I was like, yo, this is the best day ever. And then it just, every time you add a digit it's exciting for you.
I realized how little I knew about money. I'm like, okay, what do I do now? I don't know what to do with this.
How had you made it at that point?
Working, selling. I was in sales.
Okay. Real estate?
I was selling events door to door to business owners. Okay. I was doing consulting work.
Okay.
So I was traveling to cities. Like, I'd pick a city far away from home as possible and I'd go there and knock on doors.
Really?
Hey, my name's Grant Cardone. I got an idea for your business.
Nice. Really?
Cold.
What was the idea?
That I could increase their sales, company's sales.
And
then I'd go and do a pitch. Get the people involved. Gave them some ideas about how they should change their sales from ripping people off, cheating them, and doing all the Belfour bullshit.
Can I ask how you knew how to do that if you hadn't yet done it yourself?
Oh, I had done it. I had done it. I was in sales when I was 25 and hated it because of all the stuff they were asking me to do, all the modeling, and they ask a question, you ask a question, all the manipulation stuff, you know, which is why I told Belfort, I said, I'm taking you in a cage, dude, because nobody wants to do the dumb criminal bullshit. That's why people hate sales, right? That's why that lady she'd rather be a housekeeper.
What generation actually falls for that stuff?
None. I don't know.
Nobody anymore?
Well, kids are still falling for it today.
I was just going to say, it's every generation. I mean, a lot of times people buy stuff because of sales tactics.
No,
I did videos. You're a Vima kid.
But they're out buying programs and products right now and saying, okay, they're going to sit across a guy like me and you're going to model me, whatever that means. Like, you're going to duplicate my look or how I'm acting, or I'm holding my pen in my right hand. And that's somehow going to fucking, like.
Why are you holding a pen in your right hand?
You know, I don't know. but the point is, like that's somehow going to make me want to buy from you. It's ridiculous.
But people buy
those programs every day.
You strike me as a person that would be better suited for marketing than sales because it's a little bit more complex. There's a little bit more branding, a little bit more thought that goes into it. And I think that's kind of what's different about you and somebody that just wants to sell. Like, you have a lot of thought that goes into it.
Well, there was a time when I just wanted to sell. And then there was a time like, okay, that game's only going to get me $1 million.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, I got to learn how to market, you know? And then at some point you're like, okay, screw both of those. I need to learn how to become a business person.
I need to learn how to scale. Where's there more money? Sales or marketing?
In business, not in either one of those. Being a business person, not an entrepreneur. There's a lot of entrepreneurs out there. How do I become a business? How do I become a conglomerate? How do I become, you know, somebody that's
Like I'm going to build a $10 billion business in the next 4 or 5 years.
Let me invest.
Sure.
It's done. I'm a millionaire. It's done. I got you. Is your formula for corporate business, or can it work for
both.
A variety yeah. of like, how do you use social media to perpetuate your formula besides just the promo and the building of the Grant Cardone brand?
First is just some awareness, right? Some people want to see the family. Some people want to see what we did for a company. We raised, we're out buying real estate right now. We created a company called Cardone Capital. We raised $250 million. How much, Ryan? What are we at right now? 252 or something? $252 million.
And what are you going to do with that?
In 20 yeah. months, we did that.
Okay.
With Instagram and Facebook.
So that money bought
About $750 million worth of real estate.
Oh, okay.
The cash flows. Yeah. Large apartment complexes.
I'm assuming you have a large workforce under you.
There's about 350 employees in the real estate.
Okay.
Managing that portfolio. And that was crowdfunded?
Yeah, it was crowdfunded.
Is this over okay. Is this global or is this in the US?
Just US.
Just US, got yeah. it.
How is that crowdfunded real estate market doing right now? Because
it's not doing well for most people. Okay. We just did the biggest Reg A, means non-accredited.
Yeah, Regulation A+.
$50 million.
Right.
The biggest raise ever been done before. Yeah.
And so you did through a Reg A IPO?
Yeah. It took 8.5 months to raise $50 million. We raised another $100 million from non-accredited. And on top of real estate that I had already gone out and bought. I mean, this is the stuff that fascinates me right here. Like, okay, I could sell a pen or I could buy $500 million worth of real estate.
You really got a problem with that, Jordan Belfort.
No. It's not really about him. It's about elevating the think. It's about elevating. Because I was stuck in that. I was stuck in this little think for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's like, when am I going to elevate my game so I'm having fun to the same level of my potential so that I'm excited about life. That's what keeps people looking young.
Who taught you and got you to the point where you're good at social media? Because when there's a huge disconnect between the older entrepreneur, CEO, CMO workforce and understanding what drives on social.
I should not understand it. Right?
That's what I'm getting at. You shouldn't.
I watch guys like you guys doing your deal and I'm watching your podcast today and saying, God damn, I'm missing that. I'm missing this piece and that piece.
Yeah.
And so, like, we use no sponsors. We have no sponsors at any of our stuff. And I'm like, wow, I should have sponsors.
You don't run your media in-house, do you? Do you have an agency?
Yeah, we run it all in-house? We run it all in-house. It's probably a mistake, you know.
I think your ability to adapt probably plays a massive part of your success. Do you agree?
Could be, yeah.
Because, like, this is actually crazy. When you said that, I was like, no, I don't. What's 61? Like, think about boxing coach Millen, for example.
he doesn't even know how to record.
he still eats peanut butter and jelly.
So yeah, I mean,
Hold on a second.
Only.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How to use social media, and you got the text on the top and bottom. You're italicizing some words.
You like
you're
that?
Bolding.
Is that good?
you got quotes.
Yeah.
If it's a good deal for everyone except you, it's not a good deal for anyone. Grant Cardone.
Love it.
Back of the head, just looking out over a sea of smart entrepreneurs.
Were you affected by the 2008 real estate crash?
Helped me so much, man.
Really?
Changed my life.
Helped you.
Changed my life.
Ruined my dad's.
I would not be here if it was not for the collapse.
Literally ruined my dad's life. Ruined his life.
Yeah.
So how did it help you?
Because I was sitting there getting my life fucking handed to me. I had two businesses that were failing. They were cut in half. The real estate was frozen. Couldn't sell it. Couldn't move anything.
Yep.
Had a $60 million lawsuit hit me the same fucking week Lehman collapsed. And what was the other thing that was going on? Oh, we had a baby coming. Like, I'm like, everything's coming at us. Like, yeah. when it rains, it's fucking
that's
like-
That's how life works.
Like, it was crazy, yeah. dude. Oh, yeah. I was like, I was looking at this thing saying, okay, I fucked up big time here. That's where I wrote the 10X rule.
How do I
get out of this deal? How do I get out? Oh, damn, dude. Well, how'd you get into the deal first? You got to ask yourself, how did I get into this deal? 2008 was not the issue. I always knew that everybody knows there could be a collapse. There's going to be another one.
Yep.
How did I get into this deal soon, right? Oh, we're probably in it right now.
I heard it's like right around the corner.
We're probably in
but
the
not, But not real estate though. The
well, that's another conversation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I'm like, hey, how do I get myself out of this? How did I get myself into it? And I'm like, oh, dude, you never thought big enough. You were not thinking big enough. I had a business making $3 million, $4 million a year. I was sitting on, I don't know, $8 or $10 million in cash, and I didn't have the money working. And then when this thing happens, and then the next one's going to come, it's going to crush so many people because you don't have your cash ready. The money's not working. You're not in recession-proofed vehicles. And so
What was the mortgage debt back in 2008? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me just finish this one thing. So what happened was I realized nobody knew me. Like you guys will be in such a great position because who wins the war when the recession happens is who's best known and who can deliver at the lowest price. Everybody else gets wiped. Mm. And I wasn't in that position. So this was 9-10 years ago, I guess. And I'm like, okay, I got to recalculate the whole thing. The next one comes, I will be so strong.
But do you mean in the event that you're a B2C entrepreneur?
It wouldn't matter for me. B2C.
Because like what is a well-known influencer do? And by the way, so
they're not doing anything now. So
No. Like, but when the recession hit, were you still sideline heavy and ready to go when it hit, or were you exposed?
No. I was exposed, but I had no following. I depended on one vertical. There was no place for me, and I didn't have products to sell anyway. So there's influencers out there that are worried about likes. They're gonna get fucking crushed.
Why?
They're not making money.
I have a question.
Plus, likes might get taken away.
that's true too.
I've spent a decent amount of money. I've also saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
I have money in the bank.
Yeah.
How can I?
He's also got muscles and cars too.
As a creator, when the next recession comes, not only survive, but capitalize.
Yeah.
Pieces of advice for me?
Yeah.
What you got?
Don't keep cash in the bank.
Don't?
No. How much you got in the bank right now? How liquid is it?
A lot.
How much? What's a lot? I can handle it.
Yeah, I can't say.
Whisper.
Well, where should it be?
Write it down for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Hey, it's a lot for me.
Yo, he started laughing.
He's like, that's my jet fuel.
Yeah, he's like, I spent that on dinner last night.
I was like, and you were making fun of him for the chugger?
Shit.
Oh my God. Classic.
God dang levels.
Yeah.
Levels. God dang classic. It, dude.
Bro, so many levels, dude.
I'm a third of your age.
Fuck.
Give me time.
Dude, you're way ahead of me, bro. You're way ahead of me. All of us.
It's not that much, I guess.
No. Well, but you are ahead of me, but everybody's got to change. You should never have money in the bank.
So what do I do with it? Do I buy gold?
No, fuck no. You only buy things that produce cash flow that can't be disrupted.
Like
the real estate I buy.
Yeah.
The real estate I buy is indestructible.
What about the real estate that you buy makes it indestructible?
Commercials?
The rents are $1,500 a month.
Right. Okay. Ah.
The world comes to an end tomorrow, a short of North Korea going nuclear. What are you going to do? You're not going to go below $1,500 a month. Your housekeeper's renting from me.
Yeah.
And don't buy anything in California and do not be in New York.
Good states.
Stay out of these. Good states. Yeah, Florida, Texas, where everybody's going, where jobs are going.
Okay.
Where it's warm, there's tax advantages, lots of job growth. No, ordinary people can live there, not movie directors and producers and fucking bullshit artists.
Bigger question for the viewership, by the way, because obviously no one who's watching the show cares what to do with your extra
$4 or $5 million
when the recession
hits. $10 million, $14 million.
Whatever it is.
What was the number? I would love for people to post below. What was the number?
Lot.
Was it 4, 14, 24, 34, 54?
Why does it always end in a 4?
I don't know. I had to come up with some number. Okay.
What is the person who's watching
15,
this?
25.
What is the person that's watching the show that has $236? Well,
yeah, just invest it all in yourself. You're already broke. Don't hold on to $236. Like you can't save. Our parents taught us. I don't know what your parents taught you, but they taught us to save money. You know?
Yeah, it's 100%. Stupid.
They taught us to buy houses. Both those ideas are for banks. They're not for you. So save your money. He's got the money in the bank. The bank benefits. He doesn't. As soon as he puts the money in the bank, whatever it is, right? Whatever the number is, he puts the baby note. They look at it. They're like baby money.
What about, they take it.
What they do is they multiply. How many people can we get to do this? And they take the money and immediately invest it.
Yeah. I remember when I was 21, I was working for Bob Proctor and I asked him, I was like, should I save money? And he said the same thing. No, absolutely not. Yeah. Especially at your age. Don't save anything. And I was like, because everybody was trying to tell me like, oh, you should have a budget. And he's like, no, I don't mess with budgets.
This is fascinating. Really?
Really?
Yeah. That was the first time I heard it. And it's the stress that saving at a young age causes versus putting that money to investing into yourself. Now it's like, then that's once you have a project that you make a million or half a million or a quarter million, whatever, then you can probably start to maneuver think about that kind of stuff.
There's got to be a caveat though here. I feel like we're talking about what people who are business minded, entrepreneurial should do with their money. Like what if you're a nurse and the only goal you have in life is to have a cute dog, a boyfriend that works his 9 to 5 or a husband that works his 9 to 5 comes home. You guys could kick it, watch Grey's Anatomy,
Scrubs,
whatever. Yep. Then how do you explain to that person, hey, stop saving the money. You're 50% of the way to your house. I instead want to see you invest it into a moderate to high risk real estate portfolio that may or may not provide what you want out of it, you know?
Yeah, you got to talk to her about changing her goals. She's a slave.
What if people are complacent with that?
Or happier.
You need to wake them up. Content. I mean, that's the whole 10X thing. Like, you're not going to get by. People need to be told the truth. People are not being told the truth in America. We're being told this is the best country to live in. Everybody's doing great. Everybody's not doing great. 76% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Eight people out of 10 that are listening to your show fucking cannot pay their bills. And they're saving money. I'm like, what are you doing? Dude, you can't even pay your bills. Your problem is not how much money you have in the bank. It's like you don't produce anything. You're not getting bigger and faster. Nobody knows you. And if nobody, the fact you guys are known by so many people, there's no way money doesn't come here. Money comes to attention. Wherever attention goes, money goes. And people are not being taught there. They're like, save your money. No, get outside your house, buy a house. You don't need to buy a house. Nobody needs to own a home. The super rich people don't own homes. Like, study the wealthy corporations. They invest money. They don't keep it. Apple Computers got, I don't know, $270 billion in cash, some freaking ridiculous $250 billion. They borrow money from Japan to make their advancements. But Americans are not borrowing money. They're saving money. They got equity in their homes. Parents are trying to pay their houses off. You don't want to pay a house off. You don't even want to own a house.
How do you transfer that advice? It's tough for me to understand how that moves on to the everyday man. Because when you talk about it, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by business savvy people. I have investment opportunities thrown my way constantly. I have money that I can invest into those said opportunities. If you're Jim in, time to pick the state,
Indiana,
Alabama this week.
There we go.
If you're Jim in Alabama, shout out Alabama. I always got a different state.
Yeah, usually we always Idaho, have someone. There
and
is
they
a
always
gym.
Do it. Jim in Alabama, if you're watching this, shout out.
It's Jimbo.
Jimbo in Alabama. He doesn't have these type of opportunities. He's currently living paycheck to paycheck. He doesn't have the big picture. He doesn't have the connections. He doesn't have the cash to just throw at investment opportunities. How does he go about starting to brand himself? Because a lot of the business related, I'm like the business guy on the show. A lot of the business related questions I get are, what do I do to brand myself? How do I become a better marketer of myself? I have 212 followers on Instagram. I don't know what my niche is. I don't know what I want to do. Like, I think you talk a lot about level 9 to 10, but what does somebody at level -2 do?
So -2 is he needs to understand, dude, you're not going to survive at this level. Like the first thing is just some awareness. Like if you got an alcohol problem, first thing is like, you got to confront that there's a problem, right? Otherwise he's not going to give it up.
But he knows that. Jimbo knows that. He can't pay his rent
Jimbo
on his little
know
shed.
That. Jimbo doesn't know that because he's asking about the branding thing. He's like, how do I get another 212? But I'm an introvert. So I don't want to get 214 because I don't want to get people to know me, because he's not threatened by his financial prospects. He needs to get threatened. People need to understand, dude, you're not safe. Not in this country.
Is desperation the biggest motivator?
Yeah, totally. You need to understand, look, you are not doing well. Okay. He can't sit with his money in the bank. His money is stealing from him. He earned all this money. It's other people's money anyway. Whatever money you have is other people's money. You took it and gave it to somebody else and said, I trust it with you. He should have it working for him so hard, harder than he works.
Who's that lady?
So every day, this is what I do every day. Look, I started with nothing. So every day I get a reporting on my cash accounts. First thing I look at every morning is my cash accounts, every account. And I look at it for one reason. How can I get rid of this trash? Cash is trash.
Wow.
I want to get rid of it, because as soon as I get rid of it, what I do is I replenish it. If you're good at money, if you're good at getting money, as soon as you get rid of it, you'll replenish again. Okay. And I just push it off into things that are very low risk, not moderate to high risk, but very low risk, and provide me with cash flow.
What are some other things besides housing?
Nothing.
That's it.
I wouldn't touch anything.
Really?
I do. I go one thing. I understand.
I hear that all the time.
Wow. Well,
I know. I'm not going to buy Bitcoin, even though I think Bitcoin will be great.
Not going to buy Juul. That's for sure. A lot of people invested a lot of money into fucking e-cigs, and that sucks right now.
Yeah. Would never do it, dude, because people don't have to do it. Yeah. Okay. People have to have a place to live. Water, food. And I got to have a place to live.
Infrastructure.
I don't invest in stocks. I don't do ETFs. I don't do treasury bills. Nothing, dude. It's a piece of paper. Why would I trade a piece of paper for a piece of paper?
What about startups?
No, fuck no.
No apps, no tech?
No. Won't touch them.
So you're strictly real. So you're pretty heavy on real estate.
Because I'm a low risk guy, because I want to trade paper for paper.
What about somebody, I mean, I
want to trade my paper for cash flow.
Let me ask you this though. Low risk, low reward. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
So does it take 40 years till you can buy a jet? I don't want to wait that long.
Okay, you don't have to. My first real estate investment was $3,000. I have a $1.4 billion worth of real estate.
I think something that the viewer might get confused about, because in the beginning you said something important. You said invest in yourself.
Yeah, I think,
you know, how I resonate with that is I'm a documentary filmmaker, so I've invested every penny I've made into making my first documentary. So if you're somebody who wants to chase their passion, how do you invest in yourself first before you start getting into real estate or whatever you're suggesting?
Yeah, and this is back to the Jimbo, right? Jimbo's like not investing in himself. He's looking for some way to get better online, when the truth is he needs information about money. About finances.
Did it come back?
Huh? Gotcha.
Yeah. God, he was on a roll, bro.
No, not that much of it. And he needs to understand. He thinks he's okay, dude. It's fine now. He thinks he's okay and he's not. And the moment somebody understands they're at risk, they will make a move.
What about safety nets? Because I'm reading about it here, and it's kind of, you talk a little bit converse, I guess, or against it. A safety net is one of the first goals any investor should establish in fund. We recommend that everyone should save regularly towards some kind of safety net based on their monthly expenses. Who's that lady?
Who wrote that? Susie Orman is
a massive, like the proprietor of the safety net mentality. Yeah, what are your thoughts on Susie?
She's a nice lady. It's fucking ridiculous what she's saying. It just doesn't make any sense. She's got a TV show, dude. Mm-hmm. She's talking to masses of people. She's putting them under the hypnotic spell. Save your money. Prepare for a rainy day. It fucking don't rain here. I've been here 3 weeks. Ain't rain one day.
It hasn't rained for a long time. Plan
for the emergency. Put your money in a 401k. Guy's 22 years old. Jimbo's putting money in a fucking retirement account with Wall Street. Wall Street's the winner. So I need the money next month. I make an investment in this. I need it to pay me next month.
What does Wall Street do with our money?
They turn it into pieces of paper. They invest and make money themselves. Exactly.
So they do exactly what you're describing, but they do it for themselves.
Exactly. So what we did, I created a company called Cardone Capital. We cut out Wall Street. We buy assets that Wall Street would buy for me and will buy for me in the future. And then we cut them out. We don't take money from them, and we go to the everyday person. People like everybody in this room and say, hey, invest directly with me. We're not going to give the deal to Blackstone.
What's the minimum investment?
$5,000.
$5,000.
Yeah.
That's actually, I believe that there's probably a good portion of our audience that would have that type of money to invest in something if they believed in it. So I think that's an interesting point. How many other people are doing that kind of crowdfunded real estate?
What's the answer to that, Ryan? I don't know. But the difference is I buy the asset.
Yeah.
I buy the assets with my money. Nobody's doing this. I go buy the assets with my money. I get the debt. We manage it. We wait until it's cash flow. And then I call you guys up and say, we're cash flow positive. I've been in the property 4 months now. We feel great about it. This is what we think it's going to do. If you don't come in, I own it.
So wait. Sorry.
I bought it already. I don't go raise money and then buy shit.
So when I invest in it, I'm technically just buying a portion of the property off of you.
You're buying a portion of mine without a write-up. I don't write it up. Because my play is not your money. My play is I'm going to put together $10 billion, then I'm going to go to Wall Street, and I'm going to crack those motherfuckers over the head.
Let's go.
Because they got plenty of money. They got all the money in the universe.
Yeah. What motivates you to take them down? I mean, when you look at 2008 and they got off the hook, does that have anything to do with it?
No. I just want to crack them. They got all the money, man. They got trillions of dollars. Blackstone just opened a fund up. They said, we want to raise, I think it's $10 or $12 billion. $20 billion came in. their biggest problem. You know, everybody talks about it. You want to make money, solve somebody's problem. So what's their problem? They have so much money. They have to do something with this money. Mm-hmm. So what they do with money is they would buy my entire portfolio, and then they're going to take it, put it in their little freaking Vitamix machine in the lab, and they're going to turn it into a piece of paper called a REIT. Mm. And that's where they fuck
yeah,
everybody.
REITs, yeah.
You say a lot of stuff. You have a lot of theories, a lot of philosophies.
I have opinions.
He's back. Yeah. Which, by the way, I like that.
Say a Thank lot of stuff.
I like that. Thank and,
say a lot of stuff.
You know, agree with some of it. Don't agree with some of it. This is one thing I wanted to ask you about.
That's fine.
This is what success looks like.
He already knows what's going on.
This is what success looks like. It should be just like this. It shouldn't be up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. It shouldn't be good month, bad month, good month, bad month, good month. It shouldn't be that. You know why? If I get rid of the downs, what do I end up with? All ups, man. All you got to do is get rid of the downs. That means you got to start looking at the people around you. You got to look at your limited thinking. Okay. You got to look at the people around you that are supporting. Oh, why are you going to one of those seminars? Hey, where are you going this weekend? I'm going to go to this thing. Oh, shit. You know, that's all bullshit. You know, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. You know, I've been to thousands of these where 990 of them didn't work. Okay. And then bang, something happened. Now, I don't know if the other 990 didn't work. This one did work. I don't know. I know this. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep reading books. I'm going to keep learning information. I'm going to keep grabbing content and hope that one day it changes me and makes me a better person. Okay. But I also need to look at this. I got to be willing to get rid of some of my old ideas.
Just wanted to ask you about the up-down theory.
Yeah.
Because you're the first person I've ever heard say that you want to aim for all ups and that it's realistic.
Yeah. I don't want the downs, dude.
No one does, but it happens.
Look, I've been in a treatment center for drug addiction, okay? I almost went busted in 2008. I don't want to keep doing those. I hear everybody say, oh, you learned so much from failure. You can't do that with money. You can't do it flying a plane. Like, oh, you're going to learn from your failure? How many times can you fucking crash a plane? Like, this is just an old idea to connect with people. Mm-hmm. Oh, learn from your failures, man. So much. You're going to learn so much. This is bullshit that speakers do to connect with people. You can't do it in the real world. People have so many losses, they end up not playing the game. So if you reduce the downs and the mistakes, and the way to do that is just simply study the most successful people and or companies.
I would say it's... The way to avoid the downs is to have experienced it. That's maybe I'm talking about more my world than yours.
Yeah. I don't think so.
You think it's synonymous?
I study Warren Buffett. I don't invest in stocks. I don't buy a company. I didn't invest in Coca-Cola, but I can study Warren Buffett. Look, he's got 80 years, 90 years of almost never making a mistake.
Took a huge piece of Wells Fargo about 5 years ago.
He takes massive pieces. Massive. American pieces. Express.
Wells Fargo obviously had a massive scandal and took a nosedive of sorts, and he rode that down, I'm sure, a little bit. I think the idea that there's never going to be a down in your forecast, it acts as a detriment to the person that's starting, because then when they have a down, they say to themselves, wow, this journey wasn't meant for me. You know what I'm saying? They say, wow, it must not be right for me because Grant said that I shouldn't have these.
I'm just saying, reduce the downs. Like, mm-hmm. You don't have to go up and down. You don't have to do the yo-yo. This isn't masturbation, right? I don't have to jerk myself off every day. People are jerking themselves off every day. They're guessing. They're taking advice from 17 different sources. I'm not giving people an opinion here. Like, I'm just telling you how I operate my life.
Is that the basis of the stuff you say?
What's that?
It's not an absolute, just this is how I've done it.
Yeah, this is how, look, like I don't study people. I'm studying $1 trillion companies. Mm. My dad died when I was 10. I didn't have a dad to study.
Yeah.
And if I look back, my dad did it the wrong way. He saved his money. He was a good dude. Saved his money, had retirement account, had life insurance, paid for the house. The day he died, the next weekend, 2 days later, my mom had to sell the house that was paid for. Because there was no new money coming in. So some of that was like, oh, wait, let me learn from other people's mistakes. My dad made a mistake. He didn't have anything in place to pay us the following week. If I die today, my kids, the income will continue in next month, the following month. Five or six of my businesses will die in months. The real estate will continue to pay me forever.
He said something that actually just stuck with me on that one a lot, which was that he doesn't study people. He studies businesses and brands,
trillion dollar companies.
And that stuck with me because I try to connect the two stories, and I think back to your story, and not to bring up the mistakes that gave you the learnings that you learned from, but technically if you had studied brands and studied trillion-dollar brands and looked at their multitude of review process before videos come out and how many people are involved in that process, you would have learned prior to your mistake that there should have been a team of people reviewing your content before it goes out, which would have made that down not happen.
It's you're totally right.
But yeah,
I was just going to say, but the mistakes that you're referencing are the public ones. What about the little mistakes that I make every day? Like I made like four mistakes. I make a mistake every day, bro. Yesterday alone, I made like 12 mistakes.
I don't know if that's what he's referring to.
The reason
I make mistakes too. I mean,
well, the reason
I don't want these major losses, dude. I didn't invest in Bitcoin because I want to avoid the downs. Like I don't want the score so bad that I want the bang. Like,
do you agree with this? Cause I've always said this. If you like, I chase the oscillating ascent. So as long as you're always ascending, little downs, but it's always going up.
But you're having more victories than you're having losses.
Yes.
That's the
overall. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I'm not trying to get beat. I don't do Fridays and Saturdays at the club because I know I'm going to get beat there.
Yeah.
I don't do casinos because I know I'm going to get beat.
I was going to ask you, do you gamble?
I mean, I'll go there play, right? But I'm not spending a lot of time there, right? I quit drinking and drugging when I was 25. I'm like, I'm not going to drink or drug. I'm not going to touch any of this until I'm rich. Like, I'm going to be so rich.
Are you drinking now?
Not right now.
not currently, but like.
I had a drink, I don't know, a week ago. But I used no drugs, zero drugs, but because they were always bad for me. Yeah. But it's like, and people, man, when I'm around people, I don't feel good. It makes me feel down. I'm like, hey, I don't need to figure it out. Fuck, I don't feel good.
Do you think that advice that you were just giving applies more to someone who is at the mid-level to higher level entrepreneur? Because I think to the low level guys who are just getting started, and a lot of your minimizing the downs and watching trillion-dollar brands also aligns with the theory of taking less risk. And I think that when you first start, you have to take risk, a little bit of risk.
Totally agree.
And so as you elevate, as your program elevates, you're able to take less risk, study big brands and act like big brands. But technically at first, how do you isolate and remove the downs in a time when you're first starting, when you have to take risks?
You know, back to Jimbo. Jimbo needs to
Jimbo's
make more
that
money.
Guy, yes.
Jimbo needs to make more money, right. Period. Jimbo has to have a second business or a third business. That means Jimbo's got to invest in himself to figure out what that second or third business is going to be. Then he's going to have to get people to know him.
So,
But Jimbo's not going to do any of that bullshit, because this is why so many entrepreneurs fail online, because they're not money motivated. We're even told not to be money motivated. We're told, oh, find something you love to do.
Don't sell out.
There's the starving actor in Hollywood. I love acting. I just can't pay my rent. So people need money, man. We live on an economic planet. You know, you got influencers out there saying, don't monetize your product. Do not monetize. Free. Everything's free. I'm like, fuck, I got bills to pay, man. I didn't have a daddy to take care of me. You guys got bills to pay. There's lights in here. There's fucking camera. People got to get paid. The housekeeper, you're going to have to hire another housekeeper. Otherwise, you guys are going to be doing dishes again.
We're sort of here. And I did want your advice. This is sort of a personal thing for me. The thing we were talking about in the beginning is, do you believe in incentivizing?
Yes. Man, give me the bag. Mm-hmm. Where's the bag?
How
much motherfucking money's the bag got in it? I love money.
How do you incentivize your employees?
One, we give them a great place to work. Two, we give them an environment where there's a lot of success going on.
This is double check.
Both
double
of those
check
checked off.
Number three, we pay them extremely well.
Get the bag.
Better than everybody else.
But is it all flat rate, or is there?
Well, here's how we pay them. We give you a salary, and we never change the salary. You will never be paid more of a salary.
Right.
You can ever. Like, there's never going to be a bump. Now, there is an opportunity for a bump because you stayed there 17 years will not get you a bump.
Of course.
Okay? But
of course.
There's opportunities to bring customers, opportunities. You don't have to close the deal. You don't have to sell it. You just need to bring it into the house and say, look, I got a sponsor.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to do with the sponsor, but this would be a good person. So
all that exists. So I think he checked all the boxes. Yeah. I mean, if you bring a big bag for him,
the last thing is I have to be able to have a way to exit the environment when I grow up and become a superstar. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm gonna go get my own zoo. You know, so when the little killer whale becomes Shamu, you got to give him his own park at some point. Meaning there's got to be other opportunities
the
for
night,
the night shift.
Or you just put him back in the sea because SeaWorld's getting some flack on that one. They just put him in the sea.
One of the things that when you were just talking to Jimbo, shout out Jimbo again, by the way.
Jimbo, we love Jimbo.
We love you. One of the things
we want that, you to love yourself, Jimbo.
Hell yeah. One of the things that I would tell Jimbo too is that I've been massive on is diversifying, right? And just having a diversified approach. And like, this is to your investments or to your life, to your approaches on everything. And I think Jimbo works a job and then he comes home and spends a little bit of time complaining online.
You're going to need that with the chugger, by the way.
Right. Oh, I know.
You're going to definitely have to diversify.
But he goes home after work and he spends time on the couch writing up social media posts. Like with this job, I can't make it. What I decided to do when I was still working at a brand was, instead of spending the time on the couch complaining about how my other job isn't making it, I started another job.
I started side hustles on side hustles.
And so I think for everybody-
What made you do that? Why were you doing that?
That's just the kind of person I am.
There's got to be something other reason. You want money? Were you trying to solve some other problem?
I think I wanted money. And I think at the end of the day, the American dream for just about everybody is freedom.
To not have to answer to fucking people and to be able
to make your own rules and not have some boss telling you, hey, I need this fucking you to hit this deadline. If you don't, your kids aren't going to fucking, like all that shit goes out the window when you find financial and job freedom. And so I set up all these side hustles. And now the biggest question for me always, because I got to a point where I'm able to ask this question is, how do I decide which ones to stop? Because I have so many now. I've got investment opportunities, consultant, content, like all these different things. And so selfishly, my question to you would be, when do you make the decision to axe something that's paying you every single month? You're getting a check every month.
I would just change that a little bit to like the target should be, once you're making money, is like, okay, now I want more passive income than earned income.
Yes.
Because and again, it brings me back to the real estate vehicle. It's the lowest taxed income in the world. Particularly the United States, but there's so many tax advantages to it, particularly here in California. You just don't, I pay less taxes than you do.
Yeah.
It's terrible, dude.
Wait, what'd you say?
I pay less taxes than you do.
Respectively.
No, total.
No, there's no way.
Ask him how much Amazon paid last year in taxes.
Nothing. They
zero.
Pay nothing.
Zero.
Wait, how is that possible? Because it's tax all breaks. In real estate?
Tax breaks.
No. I have 7 companies that produce a profit every year, and then we have the real estate. And the real estate, because of the tax advantages of real estate, not stocks, not a Bitcoin investment or a startup investment, the tax advantages from real estate, particularly with this president we have, real estate guy, are freaking just off the rails.
What am I doing?
Okay. So you don't know the story behind the jet, but 2 years ago we had a big tax bill and it was massive. And the accountant says, look, there's nothing you can do about it. This is what you need to prepare. I've been looking at it all day. I said, dude, there's always something you can do about it. Always. Like, we can give the money away. I could spend it all right now on advertising and just wipe out our win.
Yeah.
And I said, I hung up on the guy and I called Gulfstream. And I said, look, do you have a jet? I need a jet. I need a Gulfstream. And they're like, we don't have a jet. We have nothing for 18 months. Huh? We don't have anything for 18 months. And I'm like, okay, all right. Hung up the phone. I said, what can I do about this? I called my accountant. I said, wire them this much money. And called the guy back, Rick, and said, Rick, I just sent something to accounting. I sent a wire to accounting. Can you find me a jet? He's like, I'll call you back. He calls him back. He's like, dang, dude, nobody's ever done that. The entire amount. I'll find you a jet. They found me a jet. I took delivery of it on December, like 26 or something? Okay. Wrote off the entire fucking thing.
You wrote off a jet?
The entire thing.
Their business.
It took care of all my taxes that year and the next year. And halfway into next year.
How the fuck can you write off a jet?
It's the game, baby. It's the cage. This is the real cage.
And depreciation every year.
Yeah. This is the cage. Well, we wrote it all off that year.
How can you write off a jet? Because it's a business expense.
That's right.
Travel. So you can travel to get between seminars.
Yeah.
Business.
Everything. Yeah, I'm baffled by how few of people even understand the concept of writing off. I mean, we were never taught that.
No, we're not taught, dude.
You know, the only reason I learned that is through my dad. But writing off taxes, like most people don't even know you can do that.
I'm just getting this. We write off my flights when I travel for a business.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
That's
why you pay Andrew the big bucks.
Yeah, I'm beaming for the jet though, dude.
Yeah,
that's next.
Yeah, the jet's a power move. Hey,
why jet over yacht?
Because the jet can bring me to Sydney.
Yeah, it makes sense, huh?
The yacht can too, but it's just a little slower.
Jet can bring me to London. A yacht just can't get me there, dude. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite toy?
No, not really. Not really.
No.
No.
How many seats does that jet have?
It has, 14? The 550. I don't know. Yeah, we're never full. We're never full.
So you haven't installed like a bed or
we got beds.
Anything crazy?
We got beds. Okay. Yeah, we got beds.
He's got a bed.
Dude, we got beds.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, are you a Scientologist?
Yes, I am.
I want to talk about this. This is fascinating. When did you become a Scientologist?
About 15 years ago.
Okay, why?
Maybe 17 years ago now. Because I read the book Dianetics when I was 25. Helped me a bunch.
Dianetics. Hubbard write that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when I was, I guess I was 45, I had an employee working for me that was extremely productive. Hmm. And I said, dude, why are you so different? I said, what are you studying? What are you doing? You know, he was doing Scientology. I had known about a bond trader in Houston, Texas, was the most successful bond trader in the United States. He was a Scientologist. And I said, hey, dude, where can I go for this Scientology thing? I was in San Diego at the time. He's like, come down here. I went and did a course, freaking loved it, fell in love with it.
Really?
I've been studying it for 17 years, all the bullshit you hear in the media, the tabloids.
I wanted to ask.
It's all bullshit, dude. It's all bullshit.
Because there's definitely a stigma around Scientology.
It's
fucking
it's total bullshit, okay?
Yeah. What about like the camps that people talk about that they get like-
It's so stupid, dude.
That doesn't happen?
It's so stupid. It's so freaking-
What about people though that they show up like after you leave?
It's so stupid, dude. I've been going there. I was at the Scientology Church in Clearwater, Florida, which is their headquarters. Okay. I was there for 6 days up until 2 days ago. Dude, it's all bullshit.
Because there's a lot of celebrities that have come out. I don't remember the names off the top of my head, but I remember reading they've left, and then they had people like outside of their houses, like interrupting their, you know, careers and
doing
all that
what?
Stuff, trying
what
to ruin them.
Sounds like the employee that left you.
No, that left Jake.
Susie's outside, picket fence.
Yeah. All I know is this. I went there. I couldn't stay in relationships. It helped my relationship.
Picket signs.
You're talking about marriage a lot. Shit.
Ah, shit. All right. Wait. Hey, that's wild. So when did you meet your wife?
Met her 15 years ago.
Same time you were becoming a Scientologist.
No. I was in San Diego when I started doing Scientology.
Do they practice Scientology?
Does your
wife?
Oh yeah, she does.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what's the core? Why did you fall in love with it?
It helped me, man. It helped me. I was having relationship problems, obviously. And it helped me. Otherwise I'd have had a relationship, right? It helped me figure out, hey, what was I doing to keep pulling in the wrong people in my life? I kept making all the wrong choices with women.
Okay.
So it helped me with that. It helped me understand and identify why that was going on. Okay. Mm. I'm happy to whisper it to you later, but I was terrified about money. Okay. I was doing with money what you do with it right now. Mm. I was scared of it. I would get it and didn't know what to do with it.
Yep.
I was not expanding to my potential. I was always playing under my game. These are issues that I was having. I said, hey guys, can you help me with these things? And always playing below my game until about maybe 10 or 11 years ago, I started playing at the right level for myself. And so it helped me with that. It helped me quit thinking and doing insane things to go up and down in life. Like I was doing a lot of stuff to sabotage my own success in life. And I'm a happier guy now. Mm. And maybe back to, hey, how do you look so young? You know, I've gotten rid of a lot of the losses that are accumulated over a lifetime.
I wonder if they'd accept me. Could we just calm down for 1 second?
Was that one?
I wonder if they'd accept me just to like go see what it's all about. Cause like I'm a bit ignorant on the subject, which sucks because I've watched
it. Would they accept you?
Just like I'd like, to, like you said, you went to what, like
you walk in, there's two or three of them right here in town.
I just want to know more about it. Cause I've watched documentaries, except like for some reason the information hasn't downloaded properly. And I wish I could ask you the right questions about
I have one big one. and not to laugh, but I laughed. Scientology cosmology is, however, at odds with modern science, with claims of memories as part of the religion going back 76 trillion years.
Yeah.
So some of the religion is based on stuff that happened 76 trillion years ago.
Dude, I'm worried about what happened last week and next week.
Okay.
So I don't know about all that. Okay.
So that seems like a long time.
It's a long time.
That's
it.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm worried about making my life good okay. here, right here and now. This isn't about heaven and hell. And
do you have to sign a billion year soul contract? Is that
this is stupid? You see, this is where you guys get your information.
No, no, just,
why people are so fucked up. Right. So it's like, it's crazy.
What if it's like the Apple terms and conditions, though? And you wrote it off. You're like, oh, no, that's crazy. But then you look at that fine print, you're like, a billion years?
Shit!
Let's
got me! Yeah. Ah!
Let's get back to Jimbo. Fucking Jimbo can't pay his bills.
Jimbo,
let's get back to Jimbo.
Listen, by the way, we won't do that because you don't. It doesn't seem like you want to. But this shit's interesting to me. I have not done.
No, it's stupid. What you're doing now is stupid.
Don't. Okay.
I'm just saying, it's ridiculous.
Sorry.
This is how good things are made bad.
Sorry.
Well, that's what you're here to do. That's why we want to ask you.
No, it's cool, dude. You can do whatever you want with it. I don't care. I'm not here to promote the Church of Scientology.
They don't need help.
They don't need help being promoted.
Okay.
I'm not here. I'm a member I'm a happy guy there. I've done almost the entire services offered there.
Right.
And all this shit I see on TV and people talking about this happened to me, it's all bullshit.
By the way, I didn't mean any disrespect.
No, it's all good.
I did a quick search and I do not know anything about the religion or services whatsoever. And so that was just strictly curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the way I delivered it was in my voice.
I didn't take it like that at all.
Okay. I'm intrigued about Scientology.
You should go down there. I'll get you a VIP tour. They all know me over there. Just use my name when you walk in.
Is that the one in Hollywood?
I lived there for 9 months. When I left LA, San Diego, I moved, lived in that hotel for 9 months and did courses.
Wow.
There's a course there on how to detect bad people in your life.
Mm.
Fucking amazing course.
Is he a Scientologist?
No, not really. He's done a couple of things there, but he's not like I am. I'm a fucking Scientologist. Mm.
I think it is interesting how modern religions don't really, they shy away from teaching you anything about money.
Yeah, they teach about
they'll take your money.
Tithes.
If you think $19 is a lot of money, there's a course down there for $19. There's free courses online. So you see, that's another.
No, I was saying
that's
another regular religion.
Yeah, not Scientology.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but dude, all religions are good. Like where you go, I don't say all religions are good, but people need something to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
People need something they can believe in life.
Yeah, have you ever known?
What are you looking at, man?
Your watch. I think it's on backwards.
I don't think so.
Oh shit. Maybe it's because you're looking at it backwards.
Let me see. Yeah.
Logan?
Maybe.
No, he's good. He's got it on.
Oh no, it's not. I'm actually colorblind.
Yeah, that is true.
But that wouldn't make it upside down.
No, it does. It deals. No.
He's got a case of upside down itis.
The cones in my eyes are reciprocated.
God dang.
It's crazy.
to your point about religion.
Dude, they killed Jesus.
Some of the
they killed Jesus.
What do you guys say about that, huh?
I wasn't expecting. Yeah, that. I'm so sorry.
You forgot that they killed Jesus.
What did they do to Mormons? What did they do to Mormons? Mormons came in.
They made a play. They made the play about it.
They pushed them all the way to Utah. Finally, left them alone. They're like,
"Well, Utah's great. Shout out Utah, along with Alabama this week."
Yeah.
To your point, some of the saddest people, for some reason, and like. What the fuck was that, dude?
Did you just try to eat ginger? What's that?
Some of the saddest people or some of the like most like pessimistic people I'll use that I meet on a daily basis are generally atheists.
Mm.
They're like, listen, I don't believe in all that bullshit. And let me tell you something else. We're all going to fucking die. Uh-huh. So get used to it.
What's the afterlife belief with Scientology?
It's up to you.
What? I'm converted right now.
Well, guess what?
Yeah, what do you believe in?
Wheel of Fortune.
I know what I believe in.
Wheel of Fortune.
You can ask me
for eternity.
What do you believe in?
I believe man is immortal. I believe I come back.
As?
That's what I believe.
As?
No, that's not the point.
Grant Hardon?
Like reincarnation.
Grant Hardon, yeah.
A porn star.
So like Grant Hardon.
I don't believe there's a termination, I go to hell or heaven. I don't believe that. However, I was brought up Catholic and I do believe in God.
Wait a second. Hold on.
So you got to, but they don't, you see, this is the thing. There's not a church belief here like there is in the Roman Catholic Church or Protestants or Jewish or Muslims. I've been with Baptists in, sitting in a, doing a course on, in the same course room, a Baptist on one side, a Jew on the other side,
what?
And me.
So it's like it's more of an education, right?
It's about making you aware of yourself as a spiritual being.
Oh, it sounds like a la carte to me. Like I used to go to the lunch line, I would buy a pizza boat, a chocolate milk, an ice cream. Like you just kind of just choose what you want.
There are a la carte courses for you, customized for your life, because Jimbo's got a financial issue. And his church is not solving that. They're not talking about it.
Right.
Mm. And somebody else might, he's got plenty of money. Maybe he's worried about his money. Look, I know rich people. I know guys worth hundreds of millions that every year they go get a new Macy's card or, one of these shopping to get a 15% discount under a new name, dude, because they're fucking so cheap.
Same.
It's completely insane.
Same. I know a bunch of people crazy.
I know guys in relationships that are married that can't quit cheating on their wives. And they don't know why they're cheating on their wife. So that's, and they could be a different religion or none at all. I know agnostic that go to the Church of Scientology. I know atheists that go to the Church of Scientology. I know people that don't know what they are. They go down there. They're looking to improve the quality of their life in some area. And that's where you can kind of order it.
Interesting. That's very cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
How many Scientologists are there? Do you know,
dude? I'm not a spokesman for the churches.
What if it was 74 trillion? And I was like, oh fuck. But I mean, listen, that is cool. I mean, so you would say that being a Scientologist makes you a happier person?
Dude, I mean, without a doubt.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm a happier person, but I'm a more productive person.
Driven, directed.
I got a great family.
Yep.
I'm a great parent. I remember a time when I couldn't imagine being a father. I was just too irresponsible.
That's me right now.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, I'm not saying yeah, but.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
We can wrap it up. I just want to do a quick little audio only with you. It's exclusive. It's on Spotify and iTunes. But, yo, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Dude, come on.
Yeah, appreciate you, bro.
My pleasure. A lot of respect for what you guys do. Seriously.
Thank you, bro.
It's a massive amount of respect.
Thank you, bro. Where can they find you on social?
Anywhere, Grant Cardone.
Grant Cardone.
Cardone.
To next your business. Yeah. Cardone.
Don't.
I'm from Ohio. My A's are weird sometimes. Weird talent.
I understand.
Challenge.
Dude, I love what you guys are doing. It's fucking like I'm telling you, like I don't respect a lot of guys in the space, what you guys are doing. I don't see age on people. Like I don't see a guy's 24, 64, whatever. I just see results and production. And you guys are changing the game here, so.
Thank you.
Well done, bro. Trailblazers. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button. Exclusive audio only right now on Spotify and iTunes. We'll see you there. Take it easy. Peace. Sit tight for 1 second. So we'll do 2 minutes. We're still on. Audio only.
Facts.
What was the moment in your life that sparked your quest for success and conquest?
Really?
Yeah.
That was the most like, cookie cutter question.
Well, fuck you, bro. I just want to know because everyone has that moment.
I've had many of them. I've had hundreds of moments. So my dad died when I was 10. I had a moment. 16 years old. My mom was scared. I could tell she was scared. I'm 16 years old. I'm like, I got to help my mom. And I couldn't. That was a turnaround. 25 years old. I'm coming out of a treatment center. I'm fucked up. Hate myself. Hate my life. No self-esteem. I got to change myself. 31 years old, make my first $1 million. I don't know what to do with it. You know, 45 years old, I got a couple businesses and feel like an idiot. I'm like, shit, I'm working my ass off every day. I'm never going to get free here. This is a trap too. Like it's been a lot.
It's crazy how you found success from what it sounds like sort of late.
Okay.
He doesn't no comment? No comment.
Yeah. I mean, not most people didn't, you know, what level? I mean,
the level, the top tier,
yeah.
The level that you'll laugh at the amount of money that I have in the bank, that level.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
I mean,
money means less to me today than it did back then. Cause I was trying to scrap and get together. You know, I was trying to, it's late. I guess it's late. I don't know. I think I got a 20 year run left.
That's more than that, dude.
You got more.
I got 20 years. I got a good 20 years.
So absolutely. No.
Warren Buffett didn't make his first million until he's 26.
Man, that's pretty early, I feel like.
Yeah, like, let's use...
That's Warren Buffett.
Yeah, but how about we use, like, either Oprah or, like, the Koch brothers?
Look, there's plenty of examples.
The dude who started McDonald's.
You know.
Well, that's an early one, but I'm just saying that's, like, one of the wealthiest men in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's...
For sure.
I mean... Great. Not really.
Can I touch on that?
Yeah, why don't you touch on that thing really quick?
Because I know you're about to ask another scripted question. I want to get this in really quick. In a strange, contradictory way, if you had avoided downs, all of the answers you gave for the moments that drove you to or motivated you were downs. I mean, you listed off your father dying, your mother feeling a certain way, you feeling a certain way, you being a drug addict. So it's strange to hear you talk about trying to avoid things like that, knowing that those were the true motivators
in
your life.
I'm not trying to avoid them. I don't prescribe people going to treatment centers for drug addiction. Probably a bad idea. It cost me millions of dollars. Okay, not having good self-esteem. How can anybody market or brand themselves online if they have poor self-esteem compared to somebody that would have good self-esteem?
What's your solution on the addiction stuff? Because I got clean in rehab as well.
Yeah, yeah. Don't use drugs
at all. But what if you're already? Sorry. What if you're already in that?
Yeah, yeah.
Life?
You get off of drugs. Okay. No, all drugs. Get off of drugs
for sure.
And look, I never met anybody on drugs that wasn't surrounded by bad people first.
Absolutely. So that's it. That's it.
The bad guys are always involved.
Yep.
Bad guys are always involved with drugs. So. Well, I don't know. Fuck.
So if you see some people taking drugs, don't go that route. Don't even listen to them, even if they got something that seems good.
We walked into a place the other day, man. They're doing $10 CBD in the acai bowl. I'm like, fuck, I just want the acai bowl. Like,
you don't do CBD?
No.
Damn, all right.
Did you...
And look, whatever other people do, I don't have a problem with what other people do. I have a problem with it for me. I had a problem with it.
Did you do any after work? Were you in the program at all?
Oh yeah.
You still go?
Years. Yeah, still sure. Sometimes I do. Yeah.
Yeah. People, places, and things, and people is definitely the number one of that. If you're listening, and you're in some sort of active addiction state, then you need to get away from the people that you use drugs with, because that's easily the number one reason why people relapse is
totally.
Because of the people they're surrounded by.
All right. We can end here.
Yeah. Don't do drugs.
Final message: don't do drugs. And if you're doing drugs. Get off drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. Thank you, Grant.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. Bye, guys. Thank you. 5 stars. Peace.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.